My name is Byung, and I've shared before here at CMP, but before I just start, I just want to... this is in a complete act of obedience, and I know I just want to honor Brother Jungmin here, because last night I was having dinner with Brother Marcus, and it was literally in middle of the dinner that I, like at 8 p.m., I turned over to, I was speaking with Marcus, and I actually said, I think I need to share something tomorrow at CMP. And really late at the evening, I had to text Jungmin and ask him if I could share. And at the time, God actually gave me nothing. All I knew was there was just this prompting for me to share. Obviously, Jungmin, in his wisdom, told me to just be obedient. So here I am. I just want to honor Jungmin and Marcus, as well as Jackie yesterday, who I had lunch with. And, they were just kind of encouraging me, and they kind of all spoke to me in a certain way for me to come out to the current sharing. So let's all turn to Psalm 77. And we'll read, and then we'll go into prayer. So Psalm 77. My voice rises to God, and I will cry out loud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago, and I will remember my song in the night, and I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, God, for this time that you have set aside, and this beautiful morning where your mercies and your love has been renewed for us, God. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for calling out your people to pray this morning. And Father, Lord, we just want to humble ourselves before you and your word, God. And Father, Lord, help us to just fall in love with your word. And I just thank you, God, for the promise that you have for us, that when you see your people move in faith, God, that you promise to respond by moving in power. So, Father, Lord, we just pray that you release your power of healing, God, that you release your power of encouragement to us today, God. And, Father, Lord, if there's anything that I speak that is not of you, Lord, I just pray that it will be cast away. But if there's any kind of encouragement in today's sharing, God, I just pray, Lord, that it will land on good soil. So help us to open up our hearts and open up our ears. And, just fall in love with your word. I humble myself before my brothers and before you, God. Use me to share what's on your heart. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. My Bible study that we often meet, and we're actually meeting later on today, we actually started to do this book on the wisdom books in the Bible. And Psalm is a chapter that we're doing, so it's kind of nice that I'm doing my homework yet, you know, finding something to do my sharing on. And in this book by this author, there is this, like, the chapter in the Psalms is super long. And there's this one part of the chapter where you can really find the synopsis of what the Psalm is all about. And it goes something like this. Every book before the book of Psalm is actually the dominant voice of God speaking to his people. And in the book of Psalms, you actually get to read what we are meant to do. And we are meant to praise and worship, and it is the human voice that responds back to God. We often say here at SP you know, like our sole purpose in this life is to be loved by God, and to be loved by God, the response is to praise and worship. And here in the Psalm today, and in the Book of Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, is actually dedicated as poems and songs of God's people responding back to Him. You know, we all have our favorite psalm. You know, probably one of the most quotable Bible verses apart from John 3:16 is Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I was speaking with Brother Marcus yesterday. His favorite is Psalm 42. As the deer panted for the water, so is my soul long for you. There's so many. Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. How many times have we said that to ourselves when we were in trouble? My favorite is Psalm 103. So great is, as far as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, that is how far He has removed the transgressions from us. So the psalm is packed with all these super awesome quotable lines, but once you hit the Psalm 60s and 70s, you get to this point where the psalmist is actually where there's a lot of emotion that's going on. And I personally have been going through quite a bit recently. And whether that's just depression or whether that is just feeling so unloved, so ugly, so unwanted, I found a tremendous encouragement in this one psalm because it really, it's so raw. Like the psalmist is a guy named Asaph, who is the choir director in the king's court, and it is so raw, and it's so and you know, there are so many times when I actually feel like how the psalmist feels in the first few verses of this psalm. So, with that being said, let's just quickly go into it. The very first verse is, my voice rises to God, and I will cry out loud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. This is a pretty strong way to actually start a psalm. And you could tell that, you know, the psalmist is in extreme anguish. He's feeling troubled, and so he's yelling out to God for help. This is a plea of help. And imagine how much he was in need of help that he says, for my eyes and me, in the first verse of this psalm. My voice rises to God, and I will cry out loud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. The very first thing I just want to kind of note is my voice. And I kind of thought, you know, of course it's His own voice. Right? Like, how can someone pray with another person's voice? And I was thinking about it, and you know what? Actually, it happens all the time. Matthew 6, you don't need to turn there, but Matthew 6, 7 says this. It says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Jesus says this many times to the Pharisees. He says, you know what? Don't pray with elaborate words and don't wail out loud so that other people could hear you. Actually, when you go pray in your private room where no one hears you, and that is where God will turn His ear. And so many times we actually do that, you know, like, I do that and I feel judged every time I used to pray. And just in case, oh, you know, what about the IP guys like Thaddeus or Matt Chung walks by and you're like, oh, you know, I have to be more elaborate with my words, right? Or when, you know, pastors are nearby. But what God is saying is, no, use your own voice. Use the words that are bursting from your heart, that is genuinely from the heart. And don't use other people's voices. Another way of actually interpreting this is maybe relying on intercessors. Now, I'm not downplaying, obviously, the importance of intercessors, but what I'm saying is, if you are praying for something, and you have intercessors around the world who are praying for you, you better be doing your own prayers. And I have been tremendously guilty of this, especially because I was raised in a house of prayer. My grandmother, till this day, will not give me a hug until she prays and blesses me at the door. I think that we all need intercessors. We all need accountability partners that that pray for us consistently. But we also need to be the ones who are praying. Don't rely on the pastors. Don't rely on your house church leaders. And don't rely on your intercessors to pray for you. Well, yes, you can rely on them to pray for you for more coverage, but you should be the one who also prays. Don't. It's kind of like when we read the Word. We read so many books about the Bible. We read every Keller book. We read C.S. Lewis. We read everything. We read all commentaries, and we even do book reports on commentaries on books about the Bible, but we rarely actually read the actual script. Same thing. So that's just the first verse. Now, going through verse 2 to 6, then you wonder, okay, this guy is genuinely seeking God. I really feel like he is genuinely seeking God, yet he feels that God is distant. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. So you know that he is actually... that outside comfort that does not originate from God is not good enough, because his soul is refusing to be comforted. And it goes on, you have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. He can't sleep. He can't talk. And then he says, I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago, and I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. And when I read this, I just got back from Toronto, and it was a really last minute trip, and I loved it. Like literally every single part of it, I loved. Every time I go back, I have this feeling that sometimes in Hong Kong, I feel imprisoned, and I'm not supposed to be here, but I've been here 6 years. And every time I go back, I always say, God, I was so happy in Toronto. I was so, all my friends were there, and I felt like I belonged to the city, to the church and everything. And yet, so many times when we say, oh, God, I remember when I first met you. I remember when I first met Jesus, you answered every single one of my prayers. Prayers that are that I feel right now are more insignificant than the prayers I'm praying right now. But God, you answered them, and yet you are quiet. And the key for me is actually verse 3, where he says, when I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. And today, this morning, I just scribbled notes. I can't even read my writing. So God is this psalmist's center of his anguish. And when we first read this, let's actually read from verse, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place here. Read from verse 7 to 10. It says, will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has God begotten, has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. And when I was reading this, and this is actually just my one point tonight. When I was reading this, it's so easy to be in the psalmist's shoes. And it's so easy to picture him on his knees, with his hands stretched out, waving his fists at God and saying, God, you've changed on me. God, you're not gracious anymore. Your favor has ceased. Your loving kindness has ceased. Shortly right after, he writes my favorite psalm. He writes, God, You are gracious and you are compassionate. You are slow to anger and you are abundant in love. Now, when you read this, like I said, it's so easy to actually picture him or you or whatever situation you're in on your knees saying, I'm genuinely seeking God, but I have my fists waving at him. And that is how I actually read the psalm earlier this week when I was doing my Bible study homework. But it wasn't until literally the dawn of this morning that it really kind of dawned on me, no pun intended, that actually, when he's praying this, he is saying, God is the center of his prayers. And what I mean by that is this. What I mean by that is he's saying, God, you've changed. But actually, it's funny how grammar works. The subject is actually God. And the proxy is actually himself. So many times when we wail and when we complain to God, he actually never complains to God. But he is saying, so many times we say, God, okay, no, let's put it this way. When something changes, something needs to stay constant and something needs to be relative. Okay? And I hope everyone understands that concept. The only way you could actually tell that something's changed is seeing the distance or seeing the change from something that is constant. Yet, what he's saying is, he's saying, God, you have, So what he's saying, like, so many times I would say things like, God, you've changed. I'm the one that's constant, and your favor has stopped. Your grace is not enough, and then you start questioning God, and you say, God, is your love finite for me? And that is not what the psalmist is actually doing. I really think that the psalmist is actually saying, God, you're the one who is constant. You are the God who is gracious. You are the God whose favor is forever. And so the subject actually becomes, so when he questions things like that, he's actually the byproduct of something that's centralized. I don't know if you guys are understanding what I'm saying. It's basically, he's saying, God, you're the one that's being constant. I know that you're faithful, and I thank you that you're faithful, but because we're distant, I have to look into my own heart and say, why has the Lord's favor ceased? Why has his mercies been finite? And I think it's so easy, and I just want to make a confession before my brothers, is that, like I said, you know, I've been going through all these times of feeling unloved or feeling, depressed and whatnot. And so many times, the first thing I do is complain to God. The first thing I do is say, God, the brothers and the sisters that you have brought me are not good enough. Why are you not gracious? Why are your mercies and why your love not enough? And you know what? Our hearts are too deep to be filled by anything else except God. But when I reread this again this morning, I just really felt like it is a confession of faith of the psalmist to say, God, I know that you are faithful. I know you're the one that's constant. So tell me, you know, one of P. Sam's most quoted psalm is, look into my heart, O God, like survey my heart and tell me and reveal to me, all my transgressions and all my trespasses. It is the pure element of this psalm is that he is not complaining to God, but instead he is saying, God, you are faithful. God, I know you're faithful, and I know that you remember. And that leads him to actually remember his spiritual markers of how good God is. And that is obviously for the Jewish people, of how good and how sweet God was to their forefathers. And so many times in the Bible you see this remembrance of the great hand and the great work of God that happened in the book of Exodus. So Yeah, so I mean, like he just goes on, you know. He says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God?" So you could actually tell that later on, he's actually saying, "God, it's not you that's changed. It's me, because I know that you are God and that you have been faithful throughout, all throughout." And you know, the word "remember" that's used here is actually used so many times throughout the Bible. And you know, it's something like when it signifies not just hearing, but moving into action. And when you remember, it's not that when you you know, in the book of Samuel, you know, there's so many times when Hannah, when God says, "I remember Hannah's prayers," and it's not just that God's just sitting back and saying, "Oh, that's nice," you know, I heard Hannah's prayers, right? There was another fantastic sermon a couple years ago at retreat by Pastor Brian Kim, who talked about remembering and a remembrance of Noah in the ark. So many times in the book of Kings as well, you or Chronicles, you find references like, "God, in your wrath, remember mercy. In your wrath, remember, God, you have the right to be just and you have the right to strike, but in your wrath, remember your mercy." And the word used there is to also act out of obedience. So that's where that's where I just want to kind of lead off to is, you know, in there's so many times when we are in anguish, and there's so many times when we are praying, and a lot of our prayers is actually about ourselves. We are the subject, we are the center, and we're actually being arrogant and telling God that, "God, you know, you are the one who has changed, your hand has changed." And even if it looks like the words on the pages says that about the psalmist, I could assure you that it's him who's actually confessing his faith and saying that, "God, I know that you're faithful." And I'm just learning as a young man to know and to understand what satisfies in this world, and I think that's part of my journey as to why I'm going through all this. But you know, like I have a pretty stable job, you know, I have a stable job, I have a well-paying job, some would even say I have a coveted job, and you know, I have brothers here, I have sisters here, who I have a great community, I have great pastors, I'm healthy, and all this, I know, will not satisfy. Like I said before, our hearts are too deep to be filled by anything else but God. And, you know, I just want to finish off with John 6. If you could just turn to John 6. So, John 6, verse 26, and this is where we'll wrap off. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father, God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign, so that when we may see and believe you? What works will you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of the heaven to eat." Again, this is another reflection to what the psalmist in 77:1 was also referring to. They're referring to the same events. God guiding them in the wilderness by the clouds of the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Jesus then said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." And amen. Sorry. And that just kind of goes to show that, you know, bread long time ago was a metaphor for substance. It was your source of power. It was your source of strength. It was your source of life for a majority of people. And he's basically saying, do not work for food that spoils. Everything in this world will spoil. And that's what I'm learning. Sometimes I just, you know, there's that it. You know, I feel like everyone has this it. And I don't know, you know, you guys are, everyone in the sanctuary right now, I think, are a bit older than I am. And I don't know if you went through this, but right now I feel like, oh, you know, it is still out there. You know, like, if I just get this, then I will be satisfied. But I'm learning that that is not the case. And God here, the key is, he says, give us this bread, O God. And then God says, no, actually, I'm not a dispenser of this eternal bread. I am the bread. And, you know, there could be a whole entire sermon on this, but, you know, when for you to live and for you to eat something that is something like bread, something needs to die. And yeah, you know, the grain had to die, for example, or everything that we eat has to die so that we could live. And I think the satisfaction that we could find in life really comes from this, is that understanding that Jesus is the bread of life. And because we know that our hearts will just not be able to sustain it. We can't command our hearts to love something. But when we really do understand this bread of life, I feel like that's where true satisfaction of life does come from. And if you find that out, then you would know that God is faithful, that God is a faithful God, and that he is a gracious God, and he is a compassionate God. He is slow to anger, and he is abundant in love. So I just want to wrap up there. I know I kind of spoke a bit longer than I actually intended to. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's actually spend the time in prayer. I don't know. I'm learning actually how to pray by reading the Psalms, and it's just really nice that we're doing it during Bible study. So something's actually kind of encouraging me to do it. But I don't know what kind of situation you guys may be in. I mean, for me, like I said, you know, I was in a very difficult position, and and you know, there may be things that your soul will be refused to be comforted by, things of this world, things that will perish. But I just want to encourage everyone here today that God is faithful, that God is so faithful. And so let's just take a moment to respond. And, you know, when we pray, are you praying with your voice? Are you praying with your own heart? And when you pray, is God the constant faithful God? Or are you saying to God, God, I've been faithful, and you've changed? So if we could get some music. Let's just spend some time meditating on that. God is a faithful God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, that you called your people out to pray today, God. And Father, Lord, we just want to confess with our lips and with our heart, God, that you are a faithful God. And Father, Lord, there are so many times when we think that we've been the one who's constant, that we've been the one who've been right, God. But Father, Lord, would you just reveal to us, God, how faithful you've been, Lord. And Father, Lord, and help us to remember the goodness and the pleasantness and the sweetness of your love and your faithfulness, God. Father, Lord, we just want to confess the times where we have doubted your goodness, God. You know, whatever situation my brothers may be in right now, God, I just pray that you are the one who comforts, Lord. The psalmist says that my soul refused to be comforted. And Father, Lord, we just know that nothing in this world will be able to satisfy our deep heart and our deep longing for you, God. So, Father, Lord, would you bring comfort, Lord? Would you bring healing? Would you bring encouragement to all of us, God? And would you just show us day by day how faithful and how gracious and how abundant in love you are. We love you in this place, God. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's go on to our Saturday prayers. Let's just lift up our community members who are battling cancer and going through chemo. I think, you know, we come out here quite often, but this list has changed a lot since I've remembered it. And so if you could just pick a name in that list, just pick a random name, and let's just really go after it. Yeah. And thank you, Jesus. And let's go on to our Saturday mission focus. Or those who are battling infirmities. Again, let's choose a name up there. You could choose another one next week, but let's choose a name up there and let's pray. Let's go on to the next slide. There are more infirmities. And again, you know, this is not just a testament of... we might be discouraged about the longer list, but this is just because our church is growing and there are more people who need our prayers. So again, you know, let's really step out in faith and let's really pray. Let's go to our next slide. And those who are looking for work, let's lift them up. I know that it could be quite trialing when you are looking, so let's lift them up. Father, Lord Jesus. And do we have a list of things on Saturdays? So the very first, let's pray for Korea. Let's pray for the North, where we have our friends up there, and also for South Korea, for a potential church plant. You know, I've been in touch with Eunsang, who is really kind of responding in faith to plant a church over there. So let's really lift them up. I don't know if he's sometimes discouraged or not, but like I said, you know, let's pray together. Yeah. Let's also pray for SP 2.0, the new building. Every time I share, I always say this, but I know it's very that we go through the list every week, and sometimes we might be discouraged. But let's pray like it mattered that we're the ones who prayed today, that God's going to respond today because we are the ones who came out today. So let's pray like it matters. Don't just go through emotions, but let's really pray that it matters, like it matters that we're the ones whose God's ears will be turned to today. So let's pray and let's lift up. And let's lift up our SP activities for this weekend. We have EMP Bible study that's happening today, prison outreach, homeless outreach, domestic helpers, education outreach, drug rehab outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP youth, Yahweh, SPIN, services and activities, and all other meetings that are happening this week. Let's lift up to God. And like I said about the Psalms, you know, this is our chance. The Psalms is our chance. And this Sunday is our chance for us to respond to God. So let's really lift up these things. And especially if you are part of that, if there's any part of that that you're part of, then let's also lift that up as well. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, that you are a faithful God and that you, when you see your people move in faith, God, that you move in power. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I know we pray that all the time, but Father, Lord, we just pray for your power to be released as we just continue our time in prayer. So, Father, Lord, we just lift up this time and, we just pray that we get to see you work in our everyday lives. In your precious name, we pray. Amen.